grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you chose the Virgin Mary to be the mother of your Son. Grant that we, who have been redeemed by his blood, may share with her in the glory of your eternal kingdom. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us be seated as we listen to the readings.
The first reading is from the prophet Isaiah, the 61st chapter. Because their shame was double and dishonor was proclaimed as their lot, therefore they shall possess a double portion. Everlasting joy shall be theirs, for I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 45 responsively. Hear, O daughter, consider and listen closely. Forget your people and your father's house.
The king shall have pleasure in your peace. He is the master. Therefore, we can honor.
The people of Tyre are here with a gift. The rich among the people seek your favor.
All glory is the princess of the chambers. Her gown is swathed.
In embroidered apparel, she is brought to the king. After her, the bridesmaids follow in procession.
With joy and gladness they are brought, and enter into the palace of the king. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The second reading is from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians, the 4th chapter. When the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 1st chapter. Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Holy One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever. The Gospel of the Lord.
So this is a story for today. The Pope died, and he was standing in line waiting to get in at the pearly gates, and St. Peter looked out and he recognized him. You know, it's easy to recognize that pointy hat and all. And so Peter went out, got down the line and said, "You don't have to wait in line. Come on, up to the front." So he went up with Peter up to the front of the line, and Peter said, "In fact, you know, Pope, Your Holiness, your Popeness," he said, "you know, I was the first Pope, and so I know that you should deserve special honors here. Is there anything special that we can do for you?" And the Pope said, "You know what I'd really, really like is to have a face-to-face conversation with Mary, the Mother of the Lord." And Peter said, "I think it can be arranged. Give me a little time and I'll get back to you." So about 3 weeks later, the Pope's walking down one of those golden highways, and he meets Peter, and Peter says, "Oh, I've got it set up. You can meet with Mary this afternoon at 3:00. So the Pope goes into Mary's throne room, and he gives honor, and he's very pleased to be there. And he said, "Mary, I have one question for you." And Mary said, "Sure, you know, ask away." He said, "In all of the art, through the generations and generations of artists depicting you and your son and images, pictures, paintings, icons, statues, all of the pictures of you, you look so sad. Why is that?" And she said, "Well, to be honest, I was really hoping for a girl." I know. But it's a feast of Mary today, and I needed a Mary joke. And if you think that one's bad, I'll tell you the one that my husband said, "No, you can't tell that one." About Mary. So that's for another day. Today is the feast of Mary, the Mother of the Lord. And the churches, Christian churches all over the world, read this gospel, the Magnificat, the Song of Mary's Praise. Martin Luther wrote a lot about Mary, and especially about this passage from Luke's Gospel about the Magnificat. And I was going to share that reading with you, but after I was on page 23, I decided that it might be a little lengthy for a sermon, so I am just going to share a couple sentences that Luther wrote as Mary as an example for us. Mary should be, and herself gladly would be, the foremost example of the grace of God, to incite all the world to trust in this grace and to love it and praise it, so that through her the hearts of all people should be filled with such knowledge of God that they might confidently say, "O Blessed Virgin, Mother of God, what great comfort God has shown us in you. By so graciously regarding your unworthiness and low estate, this encourages us to believe that henceforth God will not despise us, poor and lowly ones, but graciously regard us also according to your example." Now, it isn't very often that August 15th falls on a Sunday. This is the date that for centuries the church has named as the day of Mary's death. So on this feast of Mary, taking Luther's lead, We have an opportunity for us to reflect as a community on God's grace in us and God's powerful work in this amazing upside-down kingdom of God's. He looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Mary was in a position to feel rather lowly. She uses a word to describe herself as servant. In Greek, the doulos means more like a slave, one who is totally under the authority and the responsibility of another, one who is not in charge of themselves. So Mary calls herself a servant. She's a country girl from a little village in a dirty, dusty country. She was an unmarried, pregnant teenager. She was engaged to a working-class man who was having a rather difficult time understanding this whole situation. I think it would be believable that Mary felt rather insignificant and lowly. There are many people among us today who feel insignificant and lowly. Maybe you can relate to those feelings yourself. Those feelings of insignificance and lowliness seem to be widespread with no end to the ways that that comes upon us. Children and young people can feel like they don't matter. We tell them that they're the future, and then we say, now wait until the future comes. The elderly can feel like they don't count anymore. You've had your day, now let somebody else be in control. A man recently told me that he felt discounted because he had to change jobs because he wasn't able to keep up with the kind of work that he'd been doing previously. People who are unemployed often feel lowly and insignificant. Those who are chronically ill, who have to put themselves in the hands of technicians and doctors and nurses and people that they don't understand what's happening. People who suffer mental illness or addiction feel lowly and insignificant. People who have been abused or who are in dysfunctional or abusive relationships. I could go on. There are so many ways that one can feel lowly and insignificant. If that describes you in any way today, if you're feeling at all lowly and insignificant, this gospel is indeed good news for you. We hear this proclamation for all the lowly. If you are feeling a little low or insignificant or that you have been discounted, this is good news for you today. God says, look, I have chosen the lowly. I choose the insignificant. It's the slave, the servant, that I reach out to give honor to. I choose those that the world thinks nothing of for my own. In fact, God becomes one of those lowly, insignificant, even despised. In God's kingdom, everything is different. The poor are rich. The hungry are well fed. The sick are well. The powerless are listened to. God's kingdom has everything upside down. Reversals happen, and those who are down and out get lifted up and counted in. God's kingdom turns everything upside down. But this message, this good news that we hear proclaimed today, is not just for the lowly and the insignificant. There's more to this message than succor for the poor, the sick, the oppressed, those of us who feel lowly or insignificant. Those of us on the other side, the non-poor, the non-sick, the non-oppressed, the non-disenfranchised of this world, can hear good news in this gospel too. We who are rich, who are powerful, who are well-fed, we who are capable of thinking our own thoughts and making our own decisions, we can hear this as good news today too. We can put those gifts and those abilities at the service of the kingdom. We can spend our time and our efforts, use our gifts to bring about that kingdom, to make that kingdom of God known in the world. We can be active in turning the world upside down so that God's kingdom can be known. We can bring Mary's hymn of praise to reality, where the poor are fed, the rich are brought down, the powerful are sent away. But most of all, day and every day, we can believe the good news that there are no divisions or status markers in God's kingdom. The Pope doesn't have a special place in heaven. In God's kingdom, we are all equal. Through baptism, we are all one body. We are brothers and sisters with the marginalized in the world. We are one with the young and with the old. We are the same as the hungry and the rich. We are one with the sick and the mentally ill. We are united with the addicted and the abused. We are one with the unemployed and the uninsured. We are one with the insignificant and the lowly among us. In God's kingdom, brothers and sisters, we are one body. God doesn't use status or goods as a dividing line, and neither can we. We don't need to hold on to power or burn ourselves out climbing the ladder of success. In God's upside-down kingdom, it's not riches or health or positions of power that connect us with God. We don't climb that ladder of success to reach God, but rather, God comes down. God comes down to us in the form of a lowly human being who suffered and died for us in order that we might know God. God comes down to us. He comes down in the form of a very simple meal, a little piece of bread, a drop of wine, so that we might know God at the very core of our being, in the very simple act of eating and drinking. God comes down that we might know him. God comes down in the form of the word proclaimed so that we might hear the promises of life and mercy, so that we might have hope today and every day. God comes down. On this Feast of Mary, the Mother of God, we hear her song of praise of God for all the good things that he has done. We pray with Martin Luther that Mary's example will inspire us to faith and to hope so that we can sing as well that song of praise, that we can sing our praise, that we can trust in God's mercy and faithfulness, that we can revel in this upside-down kingdom that God has given to us, and that we can do whatever we can do to remove those barriers from the kingdom, to make that song of Mary come true. We who are lowly and insignificant, take heart in this good news today. We who are rich and powerful, take heart in this word today. Use those gifts to bring about that upside-down kingdom that God has proclaimed. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord.